From the Credit Union National Association, this is the CUNA News Podcast. Credit Union People, Credit Union Ideas.
Before long, remote work won't exist. It will simply be work. Virtual first organizations, as remote work expert Laurel Farr calls them, will become so normalized that we won't even talk about it anymore. I'm Bill Merrick, Deputy Editor at CUNA. This episode of the CUNA News Podcast features Farr, who's head of team ops at GitLab and has worked remotely for 17 years. She explains how virtual first work arrangements will evolve in the future, new tools that will improve this work style, where organizations struggle with these arrangements, and best practices for making them work. Welcome to the CUNA News Podcast. It's great to meet you. And it's day one at the CUNA Finance Council Conference in Disneyland in Anaheim. I just have to ask if you have a favorite Disney character, who that would be and why.
That's a good question. I don't know if I have a favorite Disney character, but I do have a favorite ride at Disneyland, and that's definitely Splash Mountain. So being here, but not in the park is kind of killing me.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, good. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about your background, what you do at GitLab and your experience with remote work?
Yeah. So I am Principal Strategy and Operations. And what that means is that I'm on the Chief of Staff team. So at GitLab, we don't have a Chief of Staff. We have a Chief of Staff team, which is many of us. And we all work together to optimize and troubleshoot different areas of the company. And what that means for me is that I focus exclusively on our workplace. And we are the fully distributed company, which means we don't have any real estate at all. And we're the largest company in the world to do that. We have over 2,000 employees and no offices. Wow. So I focus on how we can optimize our organizational development and behavior as a remote work team. So I am a remote work expert, and that's what I specialize in at GitLab.
So you've been doing this for a while, even before it was all the thing from the pandemic. What was it like when you first started working in a remote environment, and you know, how has that changed over the years?
Oh, it's a big difference. So I've been working remotely for about 17 years. And as you can imagine, it's very, very different. So I've always been in operations management. And so what the virtual workplace has looked like over those 17 years has been the greatest evolution. What that means is the technology and the tools that we use. So, you know, if you think back to tools 17 years ago, they were very different. We didn't have cloud documents. We didn't have video calls. We didn't even have BlackBerries then. We had nothing. So it was meeting at Starbucks with your team and having a great meeting and then dispersing again and then meeting again the next week. And that's what it looked like for our team. It's been happening in different forms since the 70s. But for me, that's been the greatest change is the tools that have enabled more mobility in our workforces.
Yeah, definitely. Do you see any new tools coming down the road that will help us even more with remote work and hybrid work situations?
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of new tools. Right before the pandemic, remote work was growing, but not as quickly as we expected it to. We were struggling to get the buy-in for investments in new technology for distributed teams because essentially remote work was calculated to never amount to a thing. And here we are. So it's been a very different landscape. But what that means is that the technology that we want to have for distributed teams is catching up, and it will continue to catch up as investors are now seeing the value and seeing the growth of remote work. So there's a lot of catching up to do. We will continue to see a lot more development in the monitoring of employees. Typically, that has been a technology of monitoring the productivity of employees, but we now see that that's unhealthy and should only be used in correct information security circumstances. But what we do want to monitor is their well-being. How are they doing? Do they feel connected enough? Are they at risk for burnout? We want to be taking care of our people on a deeper level. So that's an exciting space to watch.
Yeah, that's great. And I like your term virtual first organization. That's I think that sums it up perfectly.
Yeah. I think that remote work as a term will disintegrate and disappear slowly. It was the best term that we had as a community when the pandemic happened to happen. However, it's not the best term. We were still defining a glossary as a remote work industry. It was very much in its infancy. So over time, we will start to evolve that language to be more representative of what these operations mean. There are some terms like virtual first, handbook first, asynchronous first, and those do a good job of starting the conversation, but new language will continue to merge. And in my opinion, virtual first is the best representation of that now because it's inclusive of fully distributed teams like ours, but also hybrid teams and even co-located teams. You can change your way of working without changing where you're working.
And how do you see organizations kind of monitoring employees' financial well-being and working to improve it?
There's a lot more transparency in distributed teams, meaning not only with communication and collaboration so that we can see productivity better through tools, but also a lot more transparency emotionally. There's a lot more conversations that happen with distributed workforces to check in on them and see how they're doing. And financial security is one of those conversations. Are you being compensated enough? How can we support you in stretretching your compensation further? Here at GitLab, we even have access to free financial consulting and counseling services to help us live more responsibly with our financial compensation. So I think that that is a benefit that people will continue to look for in their benefits packages of not only being compensated, but helping optimize, maximize that compensation.
So looking at organizations today, where do they tend to struggle most in hybrid and remote work arrangements?
Mm-hmm. It's the fundamental mindset of being present and what that means. For so long, we've been defining work as a place that we go to, right? I'm going to work. That's a place. But if we really think about it, work isn't a place. It's a thing. It's something that you do, not somewhere that you go. And so the more that we can shift our mindset to not be defining productivity as being in a specific place at a certain time, but being productive, producing results, making valuable contributions to the team, that is going to be at the root of everything that we want to see in the future of work. So that's where we need to start, is just shifting that mindset that we need to be more results oriented, more documentation oriented, and that will enable more flexibility of all kinds.
So what problems can still arise in these hybrid remote work arrangements? Mm-hmm. What do you typically see when an organization has issues?
Mm-hmm. Well, remote work takes a lot of work. It's not just as simple as dispersing your employees and saying, okay, you can work from home now. It really requires a different way of working. And so that's where I see the most problems and failures in organizations, is that they have only changed the location of their employees and not the organizational operations that enable more flexibility. So like I said before, we want to see more documentation. We need to be replacing the opportunities to observe physically with opportunities to observe through documentation and virtually. So we really need to be shifting towards those more virtual first behaviors. And that's exactly why I am who I am and why we're having this conversation, is because GitLab has a program called TeamOps that it defines what those operations are and how they differ from traditional models, because you don't know what you don't know. And so if you just send everybody home, you're liable to make mistakes. And we see those in the form of miscommunication and invisibility, you know, some people underperforming and because they don't know exactly what they're supposed to be doing when they're working from home.
So are there certain best practices that you would recommend or things that you see that successful companies that do this well, what do they do that's better than others?
Mm-hmm. Documentation, I think, is the most actionable step. As we are shifting in that mindset away to something that we do, the way that we can do work better is to provide much, much more transparency into what we're doing and how we're doing it. And I think that all comes down in a virtual environment to documentation. Are your workflows and work streams documented? Is your progress documented? Are your expectations documented? Is your team directory documented? The more that we create those written trails of information, the more that we can standardize the information that our team members have access to. And that equalizes employee experience and enables a much higher level of self-management and autonomy so that people can be more productive and more informed no matter where they're working. If they're in the office or at home, if they have access to information, they'll be able to be more successful in their role.
How can a company determine whether its remote work arrangements are actually effective? Are there certain signs that show that they're not?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's also a problem that we're trying to solve with TeamOps, is because those standards have not been previously defined, what it means to work remotely and how to do it well. So TeamOps provides those measurement criteria and defines success. And so we provide assessments that enable teams to be able to score their health in remote work or virtual first operations, I should more accurately say, and so that they can understand exactly what they are doing, what they're not doing, and how well they're doing it.
Can you think of an example of a company that's kind of examined their practices and documentation and all that and has been able to improve their efforts?
Well, I think that the participants here at this CUNA conference are a perfect example. As part of this workshop, we went through that assessment criteria. Every organization that was here started to understand, what is the goal? How do we define it? How do we measure what our health score in that category is? And what are next steps in order to help us adopt these new ways of working? So it was a very productive session. And every single organization that was here today was able to make an action plan based on their assessment scores. These are next steps that we want to take, and how we're going to improve the basic criteria of documentation and operating with more virtual transparency.
What were some of the bigger questions that attendees had today?
I think the most common questions, and I hear these a lot, are about onboarding. That's a very common one. How do we make sure that new hires are feeling connected and included and informed? We answered questions about the consumption of information when you're documenting so much in this new way of working. How do you consume all of that information? We talked a lot about synchronous communication and asynchronous communication. When is the right time to have a meeting? When is the right time to not have a meeting? The questions like that are common, and TeamOps addresses all of them.
How can you tell like when you should or shouldn't have a meeting? Is there a certain formula that you use or approach that you use?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that number one, if the information that's being shared is unidirectional, which means if you have only one speaker, it should not be a meeting. That should be a message. It can be a video message. It can be an email. But that is one-way information. Meetings should be reserved for multi-directional conversation. So everybody who is in that meeting should be participating actively. And the way that you can know whether or not you will have the opportunity to participate in that meeting is that every meeting should have an agenda. So every single person, before the meeting happens, they can go into the agenda, identify whether or not it's relevant to them, whether or not they will have the opportunity to participate, and what their level of participation should be. So maybe they just send a note and they say, oh, you know, here's a link to my status report. And that's all that they needed to provide. And that saves them a half hour or an hour from attending. So yeah, multi-directional conversation and agendas are my recommendations.
Great ideas there. How can you keep a kind of sense of community among virtual first employees when they don't see each other in person very often?
I think it's really important for distributed teams to understand the value, not reinventing the wheel. I think that we are in this new space, this new environment, and so we feel like we need new ways of connecting. And that's not necessarily true. We don't have to reinvent the wheel of how we get to know people. It's just leveraging the space that we have access to. So we can sit right next to each other in person and never get to know each other because we're not asking each other questions, or we're not, you know, sharing information about ourselves. And the same thing is true virtually. We can be in a virtual space, but we're never going to get to know each other if we don't ask questions and share updates. So that's just what we need to be doing, is using the channels that we do have and then relying on those old strategies that we always have of, hey, my name's Laurel. This is what I enjoy. Do you enjoy the same things? And let's schedule a time to just have a casual conversation about nothing. The how is not new. It's that will never change. That's timeless. It's just the where that's changing.
What's one example of a team building meeting that you've had that's been successful, that's worked really well?
I think my favorite time to spend with my team is that we have what are called coffee chats. And those are a type of meeting that you can put on anybody's calendar, anywhere in the organization, and just schedule 15 minutes to talk about absolutely anything. And you really get to know people really, really well and have casual, fun conversations, or sometimes they're venting conversations. But I really feel like I get to know my team members very, very well, no matter what department they work in or where they in the world they work. I get to know them on a personal level, and it makes me feel less isolated and gives me people that I can contact if I ever need something professionally to with, you know, for help in the future.
And over the years that you've worked remotely, have you developed like a set of habits or practices that kind of keep you on track?
Yes, I think self-management is absolutely the number one skill for successful remote workers, is they need to be able to understand and be in control of their time and their tasks and their energy. So I think that the answer to this question is different for everybody. Some people are going to be very motivated in quiet environments. Some people are going to be motivated in loud environments. Some people like to work linearly in a few hours. Some people like to work throughout the day. So I think that my advice and what has worked well for me is to assess and take the time to analyze what does work best for me. What type of environment do I work best in? Because I have the opportunity to do that, and it's a privilege I don't want to waste. So I think analyzing what motivates me, what helps me focus, what helps me not focus. For me, that personally looks like having very set working hours, taking a shower if I need a brain break, that I do my best thinking in the shower, and it's nice to have my bathroom nearby and to do that. But ultimately, understanding how do I uniquely stay on track, and then enforcing boundaries that help me do that.
What's one thing that you miss from going to an actual workplace?
I miss getting dressed. It's always nice to come to conferences like this and put on my nice business suit and remember that shoes exist. So I do miss that, but I definitely don't miss the politics of an office and, you know, the social pressures. I love being able to just focus at home.
How do you see virtual first work evolving in the future?
Honestly, I think that the biggest evolution is that it will become much, much more common and much less talked about. It's getting a lot of attention right now because it's new and because of the hyper growth. But we know that virtual first working is not going anywhere. It's here to stay. And soon that novelty will wear off and remote work will just be work.
Any advice you'd offer credit union leaders who struggle with this or just want to improve their virtual first approach?
I think it's important for each leader to understand how much control they have in this process. The media tends to polarize remote work, that it's all or nothing, that you're back in the office or you're going fully distributed. And it demonizes hybrid a lot. So there's a lot of leaders that are in the world, especially in this industry, feeling stuck. We still need tellers in the credit unions. We still need, you know, people to come in and facilitate signatures. That's not going to go away in the short term. So they feel like their hands are tied and saying, oh, well, I guess remote work's not an option for me. And that's not the case at all. Managers and leaders really need to understand that they have a say in this, and that remote work is flexible. It's flexible working. And so it can be flexible for a company. And we can adapt and customize the terms of a remote work policy in a way that works best for the individual workers, but also for the company as well. So it's very responsible and wise and encouraged for a company to say, well, yeah, we do need you to come into the office for these days. And here's why. But then the rest of the time, you can work flexibly. That's very normal and that's very okay. It's just, if we don't change our ways of working, then we're not going to be able to do that effectively. The productivity is going to be imbalanced between the two locations. So if we all work in the same way, no matter where we're working, then we can get to that place more easily.
Thanks for listening to the CUNA News Podcast. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.